Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 2 John. Tonight is study number 16. And we've been discussing doctrine because we've come to this verse in our study in 2 John verse 9, which says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son." And we've seen that doctrine is extremely important. It is not something that we can choose to ignore. We don't have to get involved with, as some would indicate. That's actually an impossibility for the true believer, considering that the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. The whole Bible has been given to us by God, and one of the purposes he has given it for is to develop teachings from the Word of God. It says in the book of Titus in chapter 1, as the Lord gave some instructions to bishops or elders, beginning in verse 7, "For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." See, it is not dramatic sermons that touch the emotions of man that convince the gainsayer, that lead someone to salvation, but it is rather the straightforward and simple teachings of the Word of God. When they are rightly divided and much diligence and care has been put into arriving at the sound biblical conclusions, this sound doctrine is what God uses to exhort and convince the gainsayer. It is a hearing of the Bible's true teachings that is able to draw a man or woman closer to the Lord. Well, this is what the Bible says about doctrine, and believers are to hold to it steadfastly. But God also tells us that there will be doctrines of men. It says in Matthew 15, and we've discussed this a little bit, but let's just look at the verses to support the things that have been said in Matthew 15, beginning in verse 4. "For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And here we see God is not honored. And it is not only a sad thing, but a tragic thing, that the churches and congregations of our day have altered and perverted and twisted and turned the teachings of the Bible to the point that they are teachings of men. They are the doctrines of men and not the doctrines of God. And the churches and congregations expect their members to follow their doctrines and to turn aside from the true doctrines of the Bible. They would encourage their people to vainly worship God even though it leads to destruction and to just the failure of what they propose to present to people, which is to lead them into the kingdom of heaven. They fail to do this completely, and rather are leading them into hell, destruction, and the grave, and to death. And so, yes, we need to hold on to doctrine, but it has to be sound doctrine and not the doctrines of men. And in our day, that's not a very easy thing to do, because false doctrine is everywhere. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, we know, the true believer knows, that the time has already come. That what 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 is speaking of has already come to pass. We are living in that day when the churches and congregations turn their ears away. They refuse to hearken and would not obey the teaching of the Word of God on numerous points concerning the end of the church age. They would not disband. They would not believe that the Lord had brought judgment upon them. Concerning Judgment Day itself, they refused to listen, refused to properly consider the Bible's teaching that God was opening up concerning the day of judgment taking place on May 21, 2011, and so on. Rather, they heap to themselves teachers. And by that language, we know it's referring to just multitudes, untold numbers of teachers, having itching ears. And what do teachers teach? Well, they teach from the Bible doctrine. They teach other kinds of doctrine. A doctrine of a church that will never come to an end, that God would never judge his church. Well, what about the book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel? What about 1 Peter 4:17 that says judgment begins at the house of God? What about Matthew 24 and the abomination of desolation in the holy place? And 2 Thessalonians 2 statement that the man of sin will take his seat in the temple. What about Matthew 24's insistence that there will come many Christs and false gospels at the time of the end? And on it goes, that the Bible points out and emphasizes and reemphasizes over and over. When we went through the study of the book of Jeremiah, it was verse after verse, God was hammering home the teaching that the church age is over, that the rebellious people finally were being judged for their rebelliousness. And what of these things? Well, it doesn't fit the verse that they find in Matthew that says the gates of hell will not prevail against her. That they completely misread and misunderstand that the church in view there is the eternal church comprised of the whole body of believers, the company of the elect, and has nothing to do with the corporate church and the various denominations. Well, they have cast off the truth for their own particular doctrines that satisfy their itching ears, that flatter their minds, that flatter them And the leaders of the churches teach these things, and the people love to have it so. This is the nature of the professed Christians of the world of our day, because God has given them up to a strong delusion to think that they are his people when they're far from it. Well, let's turn to Revelation 2, and this will be the last verse we look at before we move on in our study of 2 John. In Revelation 2, it says in verse 14, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam." Now, this is one of the Lord's addresses to the churches, as he addressed seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And he is indicating in one church they're holding the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. And here we see God is reverting back. He's going all the way back to Balaam in the book of Numbers. And that had to do with the nation of Israel. And we really cannot see how it had anything to do with the church until we realize that God uses Old Testament Israel as a type and a figure of the New Testament church. And that's why he is referring to Balaam, who taught Balak to cast the stumbling block before the children of Israel. And in this congregation, they have them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam. That is, they are false prophets. They do not come to the Bible in the proper way. They do not have the Bible's own hermeneutic, but they may hold to their seminary's hermeneutic, their seminary's way of studying the Bible in order to come to truth. And with their seminary method of biblical interpretation, they develop doctrines that for all intents and purposes on the spiritual level are akin to eating things sacrificed to idols and committing fornication or spiritual fornication, because they are not coming from God and from the Word of God, but from the minds of men. They are no better than Balaam's tactics and the things that he devised out of his own mind when he was hired by Balak to curse Israel. And as a result of the churches holding on to the teachings of men with their traditions, in their confessions, in their creeds, in their denominational stances, they have developed a set of doctrines that are just like Balaam in the sense that they have brought a curse upon themselves and upon their own people. They are under the wrath and judgment of God. What a horrible thing it is. What a tragic thing it is that this has come upon the churches of the New Testament. Well, let's go to our book of 2 John, and we'll move on to verse 10, where it says, "If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." So we're continuing to discuss doctrine. God is continuing to focus on doctrine, and we know that he's referring to the doctrine of Christ, the Bible, and the Bible's teachings. "So if any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." Now let's first look at this idea of into the house, as it says in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10, at the time when the Lord was sending out the 70 two by two. It says in verse 1, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. We see that Jesus, in sending forth the 70, he was sending them into individual houses. The gospel is a very personal thing. Yes, it's sent far and wide and broadcast over airwaves in our day, and indiscriminately it falls upon nations and cities. Yet, very personally, God takes that word into the nooks and crannies of the countries and states and cities and towns and villages, and he takes it into the houses of individuals, into the houses of people. And so, especially in that day, the believers, the disciples carrying the message of the Lord Jesus Christ would be invited over for dinner, and they would enter into the house of an individual, and since they were bringing the true gospel, well, they had a message of peace from the Son of Man, and their peace would rest upon certain houses as God would grant this one or that one his salvation, and others would refuse, and that peace would return to them in a sense, and they would continue on their way. Well, God tells us in 2 John verse 10, he says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That is, we are not to invite this person or people into our home. In the same way, we would invite the true gospel into our home. The people holding the doctrine of Christ would be welcome. God would have us to welcome them into our house. And not only in person, you know, in our day, we have to enlarge this understanding a bit to include radio and television and internet and mail. We do not want in our home a radio station that is teaching things contrary to the doctrine of Christ. We turn it off. We don't listen to it. We do not want a television program that is teaching things contrary to the doctrine of Christ. We should never turn on a program knowing that it's false, but out of some perverse sense of wanting to see people fall over backwards or speak in tongues or be miraculously healed, when we know none of that's going on truly, and none of it is truly of God, but just out of really a sinful curiosity, we turn on a program to watch something like that. This verse would prohibit it, and we should not bring it into our home, not on radio, not on TV, and not on internet. We should not be visiting sites that are false, that bring other kinds of doctrines. We do not welcome them nor receive them into our home. If we get mail, and sometimes we do, we can't help that, and it comes from a source that's another doctrine, another gospel, we tear it up and throw it into the trash. And this is what God would have us to do to any that come with another Christ, another doctrine, another gospel. And some, you know, we're very familiar with. Some come to our door and Jehovah's Witnesses, and they don't believe Jesus is God. Well, should we have a discussion with them in our house? Absolutely not. Should we even discuss things with them at the door? No, we would not want our neighbors to think we had any interest in whatever they're saying. Now, we might be there telling them the truth and saying, look, Jesus is God, and you're not teaching correctly on this point. And we talk for them for 20 minutes. And at the end of 20 minutes, those Jehovah's Witnesses aren't going to be convinced at all. And yet there could have been a neighbor who saw us speaking with them for 20 minutes, had absolutely no idea what we were talking about, and just knows that, hey, we involve ourselves in religious things, and we're giving the Jehovah's Witnesses sometimes, hey, maybe the Jehovah's Witnesses have something, and that could spark an interest in that person. In other words, it could be an appearance of evil to even talk with them at our door for any length of time. So the best thing to do is when they come to the door is say, no thank you, the Bible tells me I am not to talk with you, and close the door immediately. We don't slam the door in their face. We don't have to do this rudely. We do it very matter-of-factly. No thank you, I have no interest, goodbye. And we gently close the door. We do not receive them into our home in any way. We don't receive gospels that deny Sunday is the Sabbath. We don't receive gospels that believe that there's other books beside the Bible. We do not receive any other doctrine than the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, in this day, at this point, if any missionary comes from any church, we would not receive them, because they would be on par, on the same level as Jehovah's Witnesses or Seventh-day Adventists or Mormons. Yes, the Presbyterians and Baptists and Lutherans and Episcopalians and Catholics and everyone else are all on that level, because they would want to enter our home to get us to go to church, and yet the Bible says the church age is over. We are not to go to church. God gave that command that we are to depart out of the churches, and that command has not been rescinded. We are never to return to church, and therefore we would not want to receive any denominational church or non-denominational or any kind of a church for any reason into our home, for the very same reasons we would not receive these other groups. They are now teaching things contrary to the Bible, and we would not welcome them nor bid them Godspeed in any way. Well, when we get together in our next study, we'll take a look at this word, Godspeed.